There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Matt Eumanns today. He is in for Pauly Howard. Celebrating New Year's a couple of days early here out in Las Vegas. Coming up over the next 3 hours on today's program, we are very heavy on the NFL Week 17 and on bowl games, including the two playoffs that we have coming up tomorrow. On today's show, Jake Butt, now with the Big Ten Network, formerly a tight end at Michigan. He's going to be on in an hour from right now. Adam Chernoff with a bunch of bets in the NFL in 90 minutes, NFL handicapper and better. And a couple of other college guests as well in 2 hours, Trevor Maddich from ESPN and Mark Schlabaugh in 2.5 hours from ESPN as well, talking Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan TCU. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, pretty good, man. Just got back from San Diego last night, went down to the Holiday Bowl, and listened to the Cowboys-Titans game on the radio on the way back. And it was a long drive, Mitch. It was about a seven-hour trip, and usually that's about a five-hour trip, but we have a mutual friend, a guy who's a regular guest here on Follow the Money, Chuck Edel.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck made the trip to San Diego with his family on Monday and said it was 10 hours. So for anyone thinking about driving from SoCal to Vegas for New Year's Eve, leave early or reconsider, catch a flight. The drive is not fun.
No, I would say leave in the next hour if you can. Right?
Yeah.
Because
We
all know that airports are an absolute mess right now. They're in shambles. That includes the one out here in Las Vegas. Anybody traveling via plane could be up against it, right? But also, like you said, I mean, once you get on the freeway out here and you're going either to or from California from Las Vegas, you're stuck. I mean, what are you going to do? Zoom off into the mountains and find a new way? Baja your way home? Good luck with that.
Yeah. You're pretty much trapped.
Yeah, you are. You're kind of stuck on the highway and then it's stop and go and... I've been there before. It took me 10 hours many years ago to get home the day after Christmas from San Diego. It's a suicide mission. It's terrible. I remember at one point, my buddy and I said, it's unbelievable how many times we said, this is unbelievable. Because you can't do anything.
I think we said that a few times.
Yeah.
Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor, was down there with me at the Holiday Bowl. And we drove back and before Cajon Pass.
Okay, yeah.
On the way back, I-15 North. It was bumper to bumper, moving about 5 miles an hour. For, I don't know, 5 to 10 miles.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yep.
And
brutal.
We probably said, yeah, this is unfreaking believable.
Yeah, right.
More than a few times.
Right. All right. So I do actually have plenty of takeaways from last night's Cowboys-Titans game, one in which we found out later on in the morning yesterday that Josh Dobbs was going to be the starting quarterback instead of Malik Willis. I do trust Vrabel there. I think that was the right move because Willis is not ready for prime time, and they needed to see what Dobbs could have.
Yeah.
Next week, that's the game that matters the most. Last night really meant nothing for Tennessee because if they win against Jacksonville, they're in. They take down their division and they're in the playoffs. So I think starting Dobbs was the appropriate move. On the flip side for the Cowboys, yes, they eventually covered that number. So, Matt, they exceeded expectations where it matters most with the pocketbook and your money. However, Dak Prescott in the first half, see, when I watched that version of the Cowboys play in the first half, my takeaways are I still can't trust this team in the playoffs when they take on a good team. When they take on San Francisco or the Eagles or maybe some other, like I can't go to war with that Cowboys team. Do you realize that as of this morning, Dak Prescott is tied for the league lead in interceptions with 14 with Derek Carr, and Dak Prescott has missed five games?
Mm-hmm. I do realize that. I was talking about Dak's picks here for the last few weeks, and I think it's alarming. The Cowboys are 12-4 right now.
Mm-hmm.
How good are the Cowboys? Because the defense is deteriorating.
Yeah.
It was borderline dominant for a couple of stretches early in the season. It's not that great right now. Dak has been really sloppy. Three more turnovers last night. And how about Zeke Elliott? 2 yards a carry against the Titans. And this is the Titans B team last
night. Yeah, it was. It really was. Now, Elliott did score for the 9th consecutive game, so he does have that
going for him. If you can punch it in from the 1 yard line.
Of course
line.
You can. Okay. Of course. And, I mean, they do have weapons, obviously. Lamb's very, very good. Nice call by our buddy Paul Charchian yesterday. He loved Dalton Schultz in the game. He went over every prop imaginable. He scored twice last night. But I think when you look at the standings and see that 12-4 mark, I mean, if you go back, here's my question to you. Are we overreacting to the current form of the Cowboys over the last month or so? Because if you go back, Matt, to what, early December or in November, I think the conversation would have been, well, they're close to the Eagles and they're probably on par, maybe with a similar power rating to the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
Well, as we sit here now with New Year's weekend upon us, they're clearly the third team in the NFC. Like, they're not at the Eagles level, and they're certainly not at the 49ers level, but you still have to keep them third because they're better than the Vikings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would agree with that, too. And I think on Christmas, was that Christmas Eve, the Eagles-Cowboys game,
It
was?
Yep.
The Eagles should have won that game in Dallas, and that was with Gardner Minshew, a quarterback. That's a brutal beat for anybody who had the Eagles plus the points and anything less than 6.
Oh, I had him 5.5 in the super contest.
Yeah, I did too.
Ugly.
Kind of ruins your Christmas Eve.
It did.
Yeah.
Christmas sucked because of my plays in the super contest.
No. I had the Patriots and the Eagles. That was a great Christmas Eve.
I had the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, at least you weren't Mad Dog 2.
Yeah, that's...
The guy from the circuit contest.
Yeah.
You talked to him, right? That's excruciating. Maybe the worst beat you're ever going to hear about.
That's a Hall of Fame beat.
Yeah.
Yep. When you're seconds away from taking down $6.1 million.
No, but the Cowboys, to get back to the point here, I think let's say the Cowboys play a road playoff game against the Buccaneers, and that's the card they draw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced the Cowboys roll in there and beat the Bucs.
No, neither am I. And I think the Buccaneers
The Buccaneers are bad.
They stink.
But they might be able to put a game together in the playoffs.
They could?
Yeah.
And because this has been the same exact thing for the Buccaneers the entire year. What if the Cowboys can't put them away in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
And that game is 16-13 and Brady's got the ball. I mean, he's done it 4 or 5 times this year alone, minimum.
Yep.
Would you trust them? What if Carolina wins the division? Would you be okay to say, look, I like my chances with Dak Prescott? The defense that you're exactly right. They are deteriorating.
You know what? I think I'm going to be on the home dog no matter what.
No matter what?
Yep. I think so.
Wow. Okay. So if I make...
I'm not a big believer in the Cowboys right now.
Yeah. What would you make the number Dallas at Tampa Bay?
That's a great question. Let's go with 3.
Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking 3. Because I think if you make 2.5, you'll get Cowboys money, but if you make 3.5, I think every pro in the world would be on
take
the Buccaneers. Take the 3.5 then.
I'll take the 3, so I'd definitely be taking the 3.5.
Yeah.
I think that's the number.
And then
if it's Carolina, it might be a tick higher because it's not Tom Brady.
Right. That's exactly right. And even though you look at the game this weekend, Tampa Bay's at home, they're laying 3 against Carolina. Home field's not worth what it used to be,
mm-hmm.
so you think it would be a similar number, but it can't be because if you make the Cowboys 3 against Carolina, I think people are going to line up to bet the Cowboys at that point.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah, but I can't wait to see what this team's going to look like. If they get the 49ers, And if Purdy doesn't turn the ball over, which he's been awesome so far, I think a bad game is coming at some point from Brock Purdy.
He had a bad first half last week.
Hey, it wasn't great.
Recovered very nicely in the second half.
They did.
Yeah, I agree. There's got to be some regression from him at some point where, you know, he did in that game at Seattle. That was a Thursday night game, right?
Yeah.
He had a really poor throw over the middle that Quandre Diggs should have picked off, and he dropped it. You remember that?
I do. Kind of like Diggs last night for the Cowboys, who had a pick six and he dropped it.
He did.
Cost me a first half bet on Dallas.
That was a really poor throw by Joshua Dobbs, and the other Diggs dropped it.
Yep. So you're right. Purdy's gotten away with a couple of things in the last few games where if the defense actually makes the play, then it's going to be like, okay, well, there was a turnover. I mean, the turnover worthy plays have been there from Purdy for sure. But I do like the fact, Paulie brought this up, the fact that he is finding George Kittle now more than Garoppolo did is huge, and I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kittle, because when you get him involved in the passing game, he's one of the best weapons in football. I mean, to think that, and here's why the trade for McCaffrey was so good, how would you even rank like the pecking order for weapons on the 49ers offense? You'd probably go McCaffrey 1, but do you go Debo 2 when he's healthy, then Kittle 3? Like, Ayuk might be the fourth best weapon on the team. Mm-hmm. Ayuk can be an animal.
I don't know how you rank him. I think it kind of depends on the matchup and the game. There might be some situations where you'd rank Kittle 1.
Could.
McCaffrey 2. I mean, there are times where I feel like Debo's the best player
so
on the
I.
offense.
Yep, I would agree. And then also on Tennessee side last night. So the look-ahead number, they were catching 6.5 against Jacksonville before the game. Now at DraftKings this morning, Tennessee is plus 6 at Jacksonville. And I think that's the reason why Vrabel had to go with Joshua Dobbs, just to see, right, who he's going to trot out there. There's no question he's going Dobbs against Jacksonville. And I actually like him plus 6 now against Jacksonville next week.
That's a big number.
Jags have to cover by margin now. Would you rather not have Lawrence and Peterson as a dog than Lane 6-6?
No doubt about it, because it's a role reversal for a team that's used to being an underdog. And now in the NFL, 6 basically is a big favorite.
It is. It is.
I don't like the Jaguars as a big favorite.
Yeah. I think there are a bunch of teams that you can look at that in the NFL. You're like, okay, I'm fine with that team as a dog, but Lane points?
Right.
No, I got to change my opinion on that. The countdown to 2023 has started, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook has you covered to start the new year off with a bang. Join Bet Rivers on both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day to ring in 2023. Log into BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app on December 31st and get a 22% profit boost. Then do it again on January 1st, 2023 for a 23% profit boost on any qualifying offer. That's right. Celebrate with BetRivers and get not one, but two profit boosts. It's a whole new game. We'll recap last night's betting action with Win Some, Lose Some coming up next. We had a 15-1 out. Right winner from a directional school versus a national power. Details on that coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse.
I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10, plus get a 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. With wagering at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website. Details are available at vsin.com/horses. Sign up now. We'll start talking college football here. Mitch Moss along with Matt Eumanns live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Matt's in for Pauly Howard today. Jake Butt joins the program now, former great tight end at the University of Michigan. Now with the Big Ten Network, he is in Arizona for the Michigan-TCU game tomorrow. Jake, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing good, guys. I'm happy to start my day with you guys and talk some Michigan football, some college football playoffs.
Very cool. It's great to have you on the show today. Let's begin with this. I'm always curious about this every single bowl season. The players, the teams, the coaches, obviously, they've had approximately a month off now. How do the players and coaches avoid slow starts when you have not played a game in that amount of time?
Well, you know, that's certainly a risk. I would say it's more so on the coaches, because what happens is you go into every single game, and this isn't just for the playoffs, it's every game that I've ever played, college or NFL, and your first 10 to 15 plays are scripted. And the coaches should by now know their team. They should know their players and their strengths. And over the course of a month, they should have a good idea of where they can try to attack the opposing team. And you go in there and you get a fast start by scheming to your advantage and trying to get a little momentum early in the game. That'll shake the cobwebs off early. But I think no matter what you do, there's going to be a little bit of, you know, getting back into it.
All right, Jake, a year ago, Michigan finally had the breakthrough against Ohio State. I kind of equated that to the Wolverines winning their Super Bowl, and then they rolled in the Big Ten championship game, beat a bad Iowa team. At that time, I'll say a bad Iowa offense. I thought Michigan had a just-happy-to-be-here mentality when it got to the college football playoff and really wasn't prepared for the Georgia game. Do you think that's accurate or not, and do you think Michigan's going to have an experience edge now, having been on that stage last year? An experience as a TCU does not have in this matchup?
No, I don't agree with you. I think that Georgia team is a really, really good football team. And we'll see when it's all said and done how some of their players, once they have NFL careers, will have some more context. I mean, they had an NFL record, five guys on their defense go in the first round. That's absurd. Half of their defense effectively was first rounders last year. 11 total get drafted. That team was stacked. And, you know, Michigan came into that game and had opportunities. There was moments early in the game and moments matter. A couple fourth downs here and there where if they can connect on it, hey, you know, it could be a different game. I think J.J. McCarthy came in later and the offense got some life. You know, the defense missed some assignments early on. So it wasn't their best game, sure, but, you know, that's what happens when you meet an opponent like Georgia. That being said, this is a different year. I think the context and the experience of being in the playoff last year benefits Michigan. It's something that TCU doesn't have the advantage of having been here before. So that'll play into Michigan's hands. And I'm just talking to them yesterday, the Michigan players, the Michigan coaches at media day, I just got the sense that these guys are ready. I mean, the players, you know, the bowl games, they schedule all, you have all these different activities that you can do, all this fun, you know, it's supposed to be a cool trip. You're out here in Arizona. It's the holiday season. All the players approached Coach Harbaugh, Ronnie Bell, some of the leaders, and they're like, Coach, like, we don't want to do any of that. We just want to work. We want to study more film. We want to play. We want to win. And I thought that was a huge sign of the maturity of this football team.
Michigan lost that game to Georgia 34-11 last year. And I think Michigan lost seven defensive starters to the draft from that team. Is that right, Jake? Was it seven?
I don't know. Seven to the draft. I mean, they lost their two edge guys and Daxton Hill. Those were your high draft picks.
Right.
I think they lost seven guys to the NFL, but as far as the draft, I don't think so.
Double check this
one first rounder.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, Daxton Hill, Ojabo. Anyway, a lot of talent. Michigan lost a lot of talent from that defense. Right now, they come back 7.5-point favorites over TCU at Circa. Bet Rivers has 8 on this game. A lot of times we do see lopsided games in these semifinals. Jake, what do you think we're going to see here? Is this going to be a tight game, or do you think Michigan pulls away and wins by double digits?
I want to give respect to TCU. I mean, seemingly the whole year, it seems like we've all been waiting. Like, okay, is TCU the truth? Are they going to eventually slip up and fall? And for the most part, outside of their conference championship, they've just found ways to win. And I think you got to give a team credit. They have an explosive offense. Duggan is the Heisman runner-up. Miller, their running back, is probably one of the more underrated backs in the entire country. I think he's top five in terms of 50-plus yard rushes on the year. So he's really, really explosive. And then they got Quentin Johnston, who PFF has as their number one receiver this year. Really, really good downfield in terms of 50-50 balls. So they can put up points. They can do things to challenge you. They can score. And they'll be probably the second-best offense Michigan's faced all year. Ohio State is probably number one. So that's a challenge in and of itself. I say that, and then I say this. Over four quarters, I just think Michigan's physicality, the way that they play the game of football with their offensive line, their tight ends, and their running game, it just wears on you. It allows them to dictate the pace. It takes away some of the ability for that. It forces TCU's offense to be on the sideline for extended periods while Michigan's driving. I don't see a blowout. I do see Michigan kind of, you know, winning each quarter by 2, 3, 4 points, and when you look up, they win by double digits.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jake Butt, our guest, was a great tight end at Michigan, now with the Big Ten Network. He's on Twitter at JBooty8. Now, this is going to be easier said than done, Jake, but let's say TCU gets out to a 10-point lead or a 2-touchdown lead right away in the game. The running game for Michigan has not missed a beat. I mean, Corum had an unbelievable year, but Edwards the last two games has been just a revelation. The guy's been incredible. Does Harbaugh stick with the run, let's say it's second quarter, or does he say, you know what, McCarthy, JJ, go out there, and we need to start passing the ball a little bit more here? Does he stay patient in a situation like that and keep running the football?
Yeah, no, I think I've been around Coach Harbaugh. We've seen him. We have enough of body of work. He's going to run the ball until he can, right? That's just his identity, and that's going to be something that they stick with until, I don't think that they start abandoning the game plan until they're down, you know, 2 scores in the third quarter. I just think that that's the world Michigan wants to live in. That's what they're best at this point too. And every part of their offense is really built off of that. You know, they get the tight ends involved heavily, heavily in the passing game. A lot of that's off play action. So, J.J. McCarthy, his ability to run the ball, you know, whether that's designed on quarterback reads or, you know, on passes where he just starts to use his feet, I think we see a heavy dose of, you know, Michigan run.
Okay. Let's assume here that Michigan gets the job done. They win. They play in the national title game. This is your alma mater again. Who would you rather play? Who would you rather see the team play in the national title game? A revenge spot against Georgia from last year, or the biggest nemesis, the biggest rival, one of them in the entire country against Ohio State for all the marbles?
Yeah, no, this is a fun question. You kind of just set the table. I don't think there's not a rather that I would see. I'd love to go back and, you know, there's the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, and then there's the Big Ten-SEC rivalry. So, of course, Michigan-Ohio State is the greatest rivalry in all sports, in my opinion. So I'd love to play either of them. You know, whoever wins that game is deserving of getting to the national title, and either matchup's going to be so fun to watch.
How much of a shot do you give Ohio State to win its game?
You know, it's funny. I don't think that it's impossible for Ohio State to beat Georgia. For everything we just said earlier, mm-hmm. Georgia's team last year was like a historically great team.
Right.
And they're not as good as they were last year, though still a very, very good team, clearly the number one team. For Ohio State, I just think it's a mental battle because they've proven to us throughout the year that they also are deserving of being the number one ranked team in the country. They got so much talent, but can you do it? Can you elevate? You know, in order to beat this Georgia Bulldog football team, you can't just play some of your best football. You probably have to even elevate beyond that. You have to make big plays in big moments. They're certainly capable of that, but you need to see it. You know, in the two biggest games in these past 2 years, the two Michigan games, they've kind of fluttered a little bit. They have not performed to their standards. So this is the challenge that Ryan Day and these Buckeye have. They got to go out there and elevate.
Yep. Jake Butt played tight end at Michigan. He was awesome there. He's now on the Big Ten Network. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at JBooty8. Congrats on the great year for your former team. I wish them the best of luck. And Happy New Year, Jake. Thanks for the time today.
Of course, guys. Happy New Year.
Yep, you
Take
too.
Take care.
You bet this game yet, Matt?
It'll be a Happy New Year for him if Michigan covers the 7.5.
Did you lay 7?
I did not bet this yet. Bet Rivers has got 8 on this game right now. So if you like the dog, a little bit better number. Bet Rivers also had 7 on Ohio State yesterday. It's back to 6.5 now. I am going to bet Ohio State. I'm going to take 7 with the Buckeyes.
You're pretty confident the 7 is going to reappear before kickoff?
If not, I'll buy it up.
You'll buy it up? Okay.
If I have to. I think there's going to be a 7. Like I said, Bet Rivers had it yesterday briefly. I wasn't able to get it. I do like the Buckeyes at that number.
We will hit the NFL up next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Believe it or not, they have a top 10 offense over the past month. I could probably give you 10 guesses. I'm not sure you'd get the team I'm talking about. I will tell you who it is next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79 and get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today, and you're also going to receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Betting splits and betting reports. This is a limited time offer, so sign up and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. NFL better, handicapper, friend of the show, and the voice of the Simple Handicap podcast, Adam Chernoff, joins the program now. Happy holidays, pal. How you been?
Doing fantastic. You guys have it going on. Matt Eumann's looking spry. Pauly seemed to take a early New Year's Eve festivity day. So this is a good holiday weekend coming up with a lot of football.
Yeah, Pauly likes to take off an extra day every year for the new year because he's such a big fan of it. We were just talking Vikings-Packers. Now that this number is up to Green Bay lane 3.5, and I'm pretty sure I know you're going to go with the total. You can still find maybe a 47.5 on the board, but 48 at most spots here. Do you like the dog in this spot? And I'm going to guess again that you really like the over here again with the Vikings.
Vikings overs continue to do as well. We'll call it 48. You can find a 47.5. There is some concern about Aaron Rodgers, which has been negated. He's come out and said he's fine and the injury not going to be an issue. There's really a lot of guys who are looking at this and they're playing the second divisional game under and everything. When I see there's a break from week 1 to week 17, I kind of negate that out. So that's really why we're seeing this total come back. But earlier in the week, it was being bet up consistently. We'll go 48. In terms of the over, Vikings at just a dead over team at the last 5 or 6 weeks. And they've been playing tough defenses in that span too. Number of defenses they faced the last 8 weeks have been inside the top 10. It's a massive step down for them in terms of class of opponent for the defense when they're facing this Packers team. They sit in zone coverage. They're incredibly soft in how they try to cover teams. Last week against Miami, they were allowing nearly 8 yards of play before Tua got his concussion, couldn't finish the game through three interceptions. Was he 100%? Absolutely not in the second half. So they get away with that. For me, this is a spot where I think the Vikings have a lot of success early, and what that will do is going to speed up the Packers, who tend to play a little bit slower, but the last couple of weeks their offense has been coming together. And so I'm just keeping on betting these Vikings games over, just because of who they are defensively, what they do on offense, especially if they can get out ahead. I think it speeds up the Packers. For me at 48 here, really good look to the over again with this Minnesota team.
All right, Adam, how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? This is a really interesting team because we were talking about it seems like they have trouble getting over 17 points, and I would think this should be more of a big play offense than it is, but it just has not developed. You're not afraid here to lay three with the Bucs against the Panthers, am I right?
I'm afraid to do it, but I think we have to do it. You, like you mentioned, I got quizzed on this last night. I was in a text message conversation, and I got asked, when was the last time the Bucs scored 21 points or more? And I had to look back. It was the Seattle game. 24 points just once this entire season. It was KC back in week four. So this should be a big play offense. It certainly isn't. They're struggling. But here's where I struggle with this price. So in week seven, these two teams played. That was only 2 months ago. This line was Tampa Bay minus 13 in Carolina. On the look ahead last week, just going back 10 days now, this was Tampa Bay minus 7.5. The opener was minus 4. We're now down to the Buccaneers minus 3, minus 20. This is a massive adjustment for a team that hasn't had a quarterback injury within a similar matchup over a 2 month span. We don't see games like this within a divisional rivalry move more than a touchdown, let alone move 10 points between two games that are played so closely together. And there's a couple things happening. First and foremost, the Buccaneers are being downgraded because of the struggles. When these two teams played back in week seven, if you looked across all the ratings, the Buccaneers were about 7 or 8. Now they're right around league average. In week seven, the Panthers were bottom 3 in almost every single major ratings that are public. Now they're all the way up to 19th or 20th. But this is all on the play of Sam Darnold, who, believe it or not, since taking over the team a couple weeks ago, is number 1 in that time frame in expected points added and completion percentage over expectation. I don't know about everybody watching. I don't think Sam Darnold is number 1 in the NFL at anything. And so for giving the Panthers this much of an upgrade because of Darnold's performance, which I don't believe in, and we're seeing this massive shift in price for the Buccaneers within this matchup because of that, I think we've just gone way too far. And I'll add in the fact here that the Panthers are going to be without cornerback number 1 and 2. Shaq Thompson isn't practicing either, key linebacker within this defensive system. This is a banged-up defense, and the Buccaneers could get Donovan Smith back on the offensive line. That's a big boost, too, in an area where they've really struggled. I don't know how we're getting to this price here. I think it's a little bit crazy. We've got all the way down to 3. The Bucs have been ugly. I got to lay the 3 here, guys.
Fair enough. No, good analysis. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Adam Chernoff, our guest. His podcast is called The Simple Handicap. We talked about this Lions-Bears game earlier today. There's a big difference for Detroit, right? They need to win this game to keep their playoff hopes alive. Big difference between that and covering a big number here of 6 when Justin Fields is going to play. Are you going to make a case here for the dog in this game, Adam?
Yeah, you have to. At plus 6 for Chicago, it's a bet that I have made. When I'm looking at this game, too, like you mentioned, that's the big thing. The Lions, for the majority of the season, have been an underdog. The biggest point spreads that they have laid, they were 2.5-point favorites to the Vikings a couple weeks ago in a very popular game about why that spread was what it was. And then they were a 2.5-point favorite last week against Carolina, a game that they got beat up pretty badly in. So you go from a team that has been an underdog, laying a field goal, to now laying 6. That's a big jump in terms of price and expectation. And we're going to see a lot of these games come up in this week and next week where you have the one team that's playing for everything and one team that's playing for nothing, seemingly. And you get these point spreads that tend to be a little bit inflated. It's a really easy handicap for a lot of bettors, seemingly on the surface, but it's actually often more advantageous to look at the dog. And I think that's a situation here with the Bears plus six. This Lions defense, too, to be laying this big of a number, 31st on the season. It's not trending in the right direction. They struggle against the run, which is where the Bears are very good. Last week, allowing more than 300 yards to the Carolina Panthers. Fields has the record, which is in his view. That's why he's getting extra play for the single season rushing yards. They couldn't stop him in the first matchup. And we saw what happened in that first meeting, too, where the Bears got ahead. This is just a really bad Lions defense. And so for them to be in a spot, even if it is at home where they're laying this big of a number, too big here at six. So I will take the Bears getting 6 points in this divisional matchup.
Adam, I'm facing Amon-Ra St. Brown in one of my fantasy football championship games. Please tell me that you like him to go under all of his props.
He's at 79.5, and in terms of his closing lines on the season, that's right within this bracket. He's usually 75.5 to 85.5. I like him over here. For those listening to the show, you'll remember in the first meeting between these two teams, had a really big position on him to go over. He's a guy that's getting 10-plus targets within this offense consistently. He's the main option for Jared Goff, and in this matchup, I mentioned that the Lions defense is really bad. Bears defense is equally as bad, and that's why this game has a total of 52. So this is going to be a game that goes back and forth, but I think St. Brown is going to be that guy as they move him around to have a lot of success for the Lions offense this week. So at 79.5 receiving yards, I'll go over on St. Brown as the main focal point of the Lions offense.
Okay, and then one more prop going back to the Vikings-Packers game. You like Justin Jefferson to go over as well?
Yeah, so it ties in with the Vikings plus 3.5 and this over at 48. Jefferson obviously has the record in sight. I think these 17-week seasons, rather, mean a lot more for these records in terms of motivation because they're all being compared to 16-game seasons. So this is game 16 for the Vikings. Jefferson needs 200 yards. That's an interesting motivational angle. But what I'll add into this is yesterday, unlike Jefferson needed any more motivation to go out and play well, Jair Alexander, the corner for the Green Bay Packers, came out in an interview, called him out, and said that his performance has been a fluke. And it's a bizarre thing to do for a Packers defense that can't stop anybody, but that's a little interesting sort of tie within this. So he's at 95.5 yards. Kirk Cousins against zone coverage, which the Packers play 75% plus at a time, is a much different quarterback than what he is when he's facing man. Jefferson has this matchup. He already dominated Alexander in week one, gets him again with that little added extra. I think it's going to be a really big game for Jefferson here. I think he gets into the hundreds. You can look at alternates later in the week two when those are available. I'll take him pretty comfortably here over 95.5, which is a big number, but it's what he's typically priced at on a weekly basis for his closing receiving line. So big number, but let's go over 95.5 with Jefferson.
You can follow Adam on Twitter. He is at Adam Chernoff. And again, get his podcast called The Simple Handicap. Best of luck this week, my man, and Happy New Year.
Likewise, guys. Happy New Year to you as well.
Be good. There you go. Adam Chernoff. Up next, tease up, tease down, or pass this week in the NFL. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market
as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Let's get some winners today in horse racing. Here you go from ExpressBet handicapper Jeff Siegel. Both are at Santa Anita. In the fourth race, he likes number 5, Nolo Centesto, at 5-2. And in the ninth race, Jeff has number 5, G. Laurie, on top at 5-2. Bet those races and more at First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Get a $10 free bet when you sign up today for the First Bet app. Use the code HORSE200 for the first $10, plus get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. With wagering at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. With secure payments, attentive customer service, and reliable websites, go to vsin.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans, plus more top plays from VSiN and ExpressBet handicappers. That's vsin.com/horses. We'll start this hour talking college football. Mitch Moss along with Matt Eumanns live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Trevor Maddich has covered college football for a long, long time for ESPN, and he joins the program now. Trevor, happy holidays. Thanks for the time today. How you doing?
Thanks, Mitch. I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing really well. Okay, so now here we go, a little bit more than 24 hours before we get the two playoff games. You've had a lot of time to digest both matchups. Has your opinion changed on either game since we knew the matchups about a month ago?
No, my opinion hasn't really changed, just because it's hard to really nail these down in a lot of ways. I mean, if I were to pick, I would go with chalk on these, but I can see why the underdogs have a path to winning, not just covering, but winning outright. And so I think these are shaping up to be two fantastic games.
What would the path be, other than some of the obvious stuff here with Ohio State? Overall, their talent is nearly as good as Georgia. Talent-wise, they're probably top three in the entire country with the Bulldogs and Alabama. But other than that, when you look at the breakdown overall and Stroud and the receivers, what edge would you give Ohio State in this game to make it close with a chance to win?
Well, I think Ohio State will, in their meeting room, see in the SEC championship game, LSU put up over 502 yards passing against Georgia. And that wasn't because late the Bulldogs had their backups in, and so it was just sort of garbage time stuff. No, the Georgia starters got torched. LSU has one of the best receiving rooms in the country, and that was part of the reason why. I mean, they were able to get lots of yards after the catch, but worse than that for Georgia, Georgia lost track of the ball in the air way too often, and balls that were poorly thrown ended up being big completions for LSU because the Georgia defensive backs didn't see it. Also, they lost track of receivers on the scramble drill. Both of those are very dangerous against Ohio State because Ohio State also has one of the best receiving rooms in the country, but the Buckeyes quarterback an offensive line in terms of pass protection are vastly better than LSU. And they'll be thinking, hey, if the Tigers can do it, we can do it better. And so Georgia's defense has been a rock all year long. I mean, they shut down Tennessee's passing offense, one of the best in the country. They just stopped it cold. I mean, Hendon Hooker averaged about 5 yards per pass attempt in that game. So the Bulldogs will want to tell you that it was an anomaly that LSU ripped off all those yards through the air. But the Buckeyes have the ability to make them prove it, because the Buckeyes can drop dimes. I mean, C.J. Stroud, a quarterback, is hyper-accurate, especially when he's got time to throw. And so I think this is going to be an interesting part of the matchup on that side of the ball. Who is the Georgia secondary, really? You got guys that will be in the NFL next year, but some of those guys were the ones that got beat badly repeatedly by LSU. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be one of the key parts of the game.
Yeah, I saw exactly what you were talking about in that LSU-Georgia SEC championship game as well. Trevor, I want to know what you think of this. I want to bet Ohio State here, and I want to take 7 with the Buckeyes, but my biggest concern is that Ohio State's too soft on defense. Do you think that's a legit concern here? Do the Buckeyes have a lot to prove in terms of their toughness on the defensive side of the ball?
See, man, I think that's something that a lot of people are wondering about. I don't think they have a problem with toughness at all.
Okay.
I think last year, after what happened to them against Michigan, they got housed by the Wolverines in Ann Arbor in the rivalry game. A lot of people thought they weren't tough, and actually in that game they weren't. And they spent this last year proving that they're tough. That was a primary focus of their entire program. They brought in a new defensive coordinator. They became more aggressive, and not only that, they became more disciplined in terms of their gap responsibilities and assignments. Didn't bust as many coverages and bust as many gaps and things like that, mental errors, as they did last year. And physically, they were tough. I mean, if you look statistically at the Ohio State defense, it's one of the best defenses in the country. Top 10, top 12. I mean, it's a really good defense. The problem that they had against Michigan was 5 big plays for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. There were 3 passes and 2 runs. The runs were 75 and 85 yards. But when you look at those, I don't think it was a matter of toughness so much as a matter of correctable mistakes. I mean, the first long touchdown that kind of got the ball rolling was a short pass out to the left on a blitz. The defensive back missed the tackle. He just missed it. And all he had to do, if he was going to miss the tackle, is make the receiver, Cornelius Johnson, go back inside, because he had pursuit coming from the inside. But he let Johnson get to the sideline, and there was no safety left because of the blitz. And so that's what started the ball rolling. Then a couple of others were busted coverages by a backup safety. And so, you know, I think those are things that are correctable. The 2 long runs, and this is what, you know, people look at the box score. And I'm not saying you, Matt. I know you look at these things more deeply. But I think the public in general will look at the box score and see, you know, the 216 yards, something like that, rushing by Donovan Edwards. Wow, they must have just crushed him. They didn't. Edwards averaged about 2.5 yards a carry, I think, with the exception of those 2 long runs. And both of those runs occurred when safeties were up and there was nobody left on the back end. One time there was 1 deep safety, but he was in the middle. The run ran off to the right sideline. The other one, there was no safety at all. And he broke an arm tackle at the line of scrimmage, and off he went. So these, to me, are correctable mistakes. And, you know, if they don't correct them, then Georgia's offense will do the same thing to them that Michigan did. Mm-hmm. But I am confident that the Buckeyes are plenty tough enough and skilled enough to be able to put up a good fight against the Georgia offense. I don't mean they're gonna shut them down or even hold them down that much. But I would be surprised if Georgia did to the Buckeyes what Michigan did.
Well, it's good to hear you say that, Trevor. I think you make some good points there. I think one thing that bothered me at the end of that game was Donovan Edwards had those long runs, 75 and 85-yard runs in the last 7.5 minutes, because I kind of felt like Ohio State quit. And it's a strong word, but it was just a sense I got at the time. Let me ask you this. Is an underdog like this seeking redemption, kind of playing with house money, does that make the Buckeyes more dangerous in this game?
I think it does, Matt. I think it does, because, I mean, look at their last, you know, year, basically. They got crushed by their rival last year, and it was an entire year of anger and bitterness and chip on their shoulder to avenge that this year. Well, what happened this year? Michigan beat them in Columbus at Ohio State's home stadium and did a simulated planting of the Michigan flag on the O in the middle of the stadium after the game. And the Buckeyes were looking at another full year of anger and bitterness and feeling of failure that needed to be corrected. And all of a sudden, the committee gave them not just a chance at redemption, but a chance at resurrection here. Because, you know, they can win the national championship. And they very possibly could beat Michigan to do it. Now, they got to get through Georgia in order to get there. But the thing about Ohio State is that it's not common that in the last decade that they have had a chip on their shoulder. Most of the time, you know, they've been the hunted.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that having lost to Michigan the way they did 2 years in a row, you know, I think helps them and refocuses them, because you don't know what you got till it's gone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cinderella. And it was gone, but then it was given right back to him a few weeks later.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Trevor Maddich, great analyst on college football at ESPN. Trevor, we have like 90 seconds left. It feels like, or it felt like, I should say, during the college football season, every Saturday night we said, wait a second, how on earth did TCU pull that out again? Well, do they keep it alive again against Michigan? Can they pull it off against the Wolverines and somehow shock the world yet again? Or is this going to be too much with the physicality of Michigan and running all over the Horned Frogs in the game?
You know, I think, Matt, that I think the road ends here for TCU unless the TCU offensive line can hold their own against the Michigan front seven. Because if they can give Max Duggan, the quarterback, and those skill guys time and room to work, then TCU can keep up. As a matter of fact, TCU then would become a more dynamic offense. And so, again, I don't think they'll shut down the Michigan offense, but they can keep up in the track meet, and that's dependent upon their offensive line. I am skeptical that the O-line can do it. And so I don't know that TCU will be able to fully engage those terrific receivers on the perimeter, because I'm not sure that Duggan's going to have the time to do it the way he needs to. And Michigan has fantastic cover guys. I mean, one of their corners will be drafted in the second or third round in April. The other one is a freshman All-American who's probably their best cover corner, who's 6'3", 190, and matches up with those tall receivers on the edge for TCU, like Quentin Johnston. So it all will come down to the offensive line of TCU, and I'm not confident that they can hold their own for the entire four quarters enough.
Fair enough. Trevor, thanks so much for the time today. Enjoy the games and Happy New Year.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at TMaddich. He's been a really good analyst on ESPN's college football coverage for many, many, many years now.
Echo those thoughts. Okay. I've always liked Trevor as an analyst, no doubt about it. He's much more insightful than Jair Alexander.
You don't think Jair is going to be taking his job?
I don't think he's going to be in a TV booth any day. No, after his playing career.
We'll roll along with more NFL and college football coming up here and Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Okay, the countdown to 2023 has started, and BetRivers Online Sportsbook has you covered to start the new year off with a bang. Join BetRivers on both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day to ring in 23. Log on to BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app on December 31st to receive a 22% profit boost. Then you log in again on January 1st, 23, for a 23% profit boost on any qualifying wager. Celebrate with BetRivers and get one, not one, but two profit boosts. It's a whole new game, BetRivers.com.
More college football here as we get the playoff games coming up tomorrow on New Year's Eve. Mark Schlabaugh does a great job covering college football for ESPN, and he is kind enough to join us here for a couple of minutes. Mark, thanks for the time today. How you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing really well, really well. We've talked about this throughout the week, a pretty incredible stat on the Georgia Bulldogs. Drew Butler, former kicker at Georgia, came on, and he's been a regular guest with us throughout the football season. He had some amazing numbers here. Under Kirby Smart, the Bulldogs are 55-1 when they score 30 points, but they're 2-9 when they allow 30 points. So if the Buckeyes were, you know, are to pull off the upset and shock the world in this game against Georgia, do you think it's going to be in the 30s, or is it more like 24-21 Ohio State?
I think it's got to be a shootout. I think for Ohio State to win, they're going to have to score some points against Georgia. And I think, you know, I think the Georgia coaches think it's going to be impossible to completely shut down this Ohio State offense. I think they're just too good at quarterback and too good at the receiver position to not give up some big plays. But I think, you know, the bigger question to me is, can Ohio State stop Georgia's offense?
Yeah, I said the same thing. We were talking with Trevor Maddich earlier. I wonder if Ohio State's tough enough on the defensive side of the football to get this done. Are they tough enough, Mark? Do you think the Buckeyes have it in them?
You know, I buy into the argument that Ohio State's kind of like Georgia last year. They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder mm-hmm. after they got kind of pantsed against Michigan the second year in a row. You know, Georgia lost badly to Alabama in the SEC championship game last year, really came in focused in the college football playoff and manhandled Michigan and then, you know, beat Alabama for the first time. But that Michigan team last year with Hutchinson and Ojabo on the other side and all those veterans on defense, I mean, you knew after two possessions that it wasn't going to be a contest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that Michigan defense was a hell of a lot better than this Ohio State defense. So I think, you know, with Kirby Smart teams, it's always been about can you score on them, and I think with this team, it's as much about can you stop that offense.
Yeah. I would love Georgia in this game if it was like the week after the LSU game, Mark, and the reason why is because they allowed 30 points and all those yards to the Tigers, and Kirby Smart could just light his defense on fire after their performance. But we've had a month now. Does that feeling kind of go away after this much time, or is that still there where he can light them up and say, guys, that was completely unacceptable now. We need to change things from what happened.
I think they've probably heard about it for the last 40 days.
Yeah.
Every day. Knowing Kirby and Muschamp and Glenn Schumann and the standard those guys set on defense, but that's a huge concern about it. Their secondary going up against Ohio State's receivers, even without the top guy. I mean, I talked to Muschamp earlier in the week about Marvin Harrison Jr. 50 ball. He says it's more like a 70-30 ball because that dude's catch radius is so ridiculous. I mean, you get anywhere close to him, he's probably going to haul it in. And, you know, Keely Ringo is a great player. Big corner, tall, fast. But for whatever reason, just has not made a lot of plays on the ball this year. He's got a couple interceptions and made arguably the second biggest play in Georgia history with that pick six against Alabama last year. And he's in most first-round mock drafts. But he's been victimized a little bit this year. So they do a really good job of moving those guys around. It's going to take a collective effort. But I think you're going to see Georgia bring a lot of pressure, try to disrupt Stroud, not let him get in a rhythm, kind of like they did against Hendon Hooker in Tennessee earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I was going to go next, because how much stock do you put actually in this with Georgia? Because when they have had to show up with their A game, which this might be just, you know, completely narrative based on my part, but against Oregon in week one on a neutral, same location as the game is going to be played this week. I mean, they absolutely blew the doors off Oregon. Then you kind of saw the team that the Ducks were for the rest of the year when they were really, really good. Then in that spot against Tennessee, the entire world was captivated by what the Volunteers were doing, and they did nothing offensively, and Georgia killed them. Is there anything to that? Like, when they show up against the level of competition, they bring their A game, Georgia is just, they're killers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think Kirby does a really good job of getting his guys focused. You know, they haven't been as consistent as they were a year ago. You know, could have lost on the road at Missouri, didn't play well
mm-hmm.
against Kansas State for whatever reason. Struggled with Kentucky on the road, but I think that was more him just wanting to get out of there with a victory and shut things down in the second half. But, you know, I think because it was Dan's first game as a head coach, it was, a completely new Oregon team, new quarterback with Bo Nix, and Georgia just boat raced them. Tennessee, as good as they were, you know, I was telling people at the time, I don't understand why we're anointing Tennessee the next national champion. Alabama had 14 penalties.
Right.
Two turnovers, missed a couple field goals, and still had a chance to win it at the end. And Tennessee hadn't been on that stage. Ohio State's been on this stage before, so I think it's a little bit different. But, you know, I don't think anybody does a better job than than Kirby Smart right now, getting his guys ready for big games.
Mark, if you had to bet on one of the underdogs in the semis, which one do you like better?
Probably Ohio State. Love what Sonny Dykes has done at TCU. I think Max Duggan is one of the best stories in college football. That dude is so tough and just carries that team on his back. They had trouble in short yardage situations against Kansas State, and I think this Michigan defense is better than Kansas. So I think Michigan's probably too physical for them. And I think if Georgia, and Ohio State get in a shootout, I think it could be close. You know, from a gambling perspective, this reminds me a lot of that Tennessee spread, because I think Georgia opened as, what, 13 or 14 point favorite, and 80-something percent of the money was on Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And the line was, and the line wasn't moving. And I told anybody that would listen to me to load up the mortgage on Georgia, because there's a reason Vegas has heated marble floors, because they take all your damn money. And I just wonder if it's kind of the same scenario here, because that line's still at 6.5, and about 80% of the money's on Georgia, and it hasn't moved.
Can you talk about TCU and Max Duggan and what they have to do to make that game against Michigan one they can win in the fourth quarter? I think he's the best quarterback Michigan's defense has faced this season. And Michigan's defense did allow 456 yards to Purdue in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, they got, you know, they're balanced, though. The running back's really good. They've got, you know, they got a couple of All-American candidates on the offensive line. The center's a really good player. And they got Quentin Johnson, the best receiver in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hit some big plays. You know, that Michigan-Ohio State game, as lopsided as the score was, it really came down to three or four missed assignments by Ohio State's defense in the second half. Or, you know, otherwise, that's a close ball game. You know, get some pressure on McCarthy, force him to throw the ball as well as he threw it against Ohio State. Those dudes were wide open. You know, force him to throw it down the field. And, you know, I think Sonny's going to pull out some trick plays and pull out everything he has, and he's one of the better offensive coaches in the country. I just, it's unbelievable the job he's done there this year.
Mm-hmm. But when it's all said and done, after Saturday's games are over with, we're going to get Georgia and Michigan, in your opinion, for the national title game?
I think so. I just think Georgia's too good on the lines of scrimmage. You know, I don't know how Ohio State's going to block Jalen Carter. He's finally healthy. And that's the other thing about this Georgia offense. I mean, for the first time all season, they're probably at full strength. You know, Arian Smith, their top wideout guy that can bust you over the top, has been hurt the whole year. A.D. Mitchell, another guy who can stretch the field, has been banged up the whole year. He's going to play. So, you know, Stetson Bennett's done his work, basically relying on Ladd McConkey, the 5'10", 170-pound dude from the North Georgia Mountains, and a couple of really good tight ends. They haven't gotten a lot of other consistent play from the wide receiver position. I think Georgia will be able to run the ball against Ohio State. I just don't know if Ohio State's going to be able to run it against that Georgia defense. They're going to put a lot of pressure on Stroud.
Agreed. You can read Mark Schlabaugh at ESPN.com. He's covered college football for many, many years. Mark, thanks for the time today. Enjoy the games. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, be good. There you go. I think that's going to be a common narrative, is that these dogs might keep it close. One of them might cover. Probably not going to get an outright upset.
We get a lot of blowouts in these playoff games.
Yep.
I don't think these are going to be blowouts.
We'll get to our in-pocket plays, what we're betting this weekend in the NFL and college next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.